Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. Mr.
Sandman, you get the idea? Bring me a
dream. It's on the internet. Cutest that
I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips like roses. It's a great program. And tell him
that his lonesome nights. Here's the Sandman. Sandman.
Do you live alone? Well, if you do, the chances of you being the target of a financial scam are huge. According to Better Business Bureau, they saw a 25% increase in scams reported by consumers because people are using the internet much more now as a result of the pandemic. So if you're doing business, fraudsters are figuring out how to target you on the web, and there's new opportunities that you need to be aware of. Stick with me today as I cover how to avoid an investment scam and protect yourself from online thieves. Good morning and welcome to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, your host. It's so great to be with you this morning. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, you can hear the jingle. They call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week. And that's because I am a financial advisor and a practicing attorney. Now, according to data out there, Americans lost $50 billion last year to fraud. And online fraudsters are innovative professionals who are constantly reinventing their scams. And when fraud happens, victims are left not only with the financial loss, but today we're going to talk about a lot of the emotional and compromised identities that have occurred lately as well. Still, there are ways to protect yourself from financial fraud that seem obvious, but we're going to go over those today as I discuss common present-day scams, up and including what's going on in the Ukraine and why they're successful right now, and some signals that as you see these things, you want to avoid them because the damage that can happen, even if you're sophisticated, can be severe. So you're only going to find this morning on Protect Your Assets, so keep it tuned right here. Now let's get started. Well, the dynamics of the stock market have changed, and that was largely brought on this week by the Fed. The Dow Jones was down 0.3%, the S&P 500 off 1.3%, and the NASDAQ, down 3.9%, back to correction territory for the year, off 12.4%. The 10-year Treasury has moved higher to 2.71. I mean, think about that. We're sitting here in early April. The 10-year Treasury is trading at 2.71%, finally turning into positive territory of 1.2% for the year. But think about that, 2.71. It was just a short period ago. We were at 1.7. Remember that? Oil is at $97 a barrel, and it's up 30.2% for the year. Gas. Natural gas this past week, I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, at 635 BTUs, highest levels we've seen since 2008. Why? I'll answer that. And bonds, for those of you who've been holding bonds, as you remember, we did a show a couple weeks back. If you missed it, go check it out on my podcast, Protect Your Assets. But bonds were down 1.9% this week to be down year to date, 7.3%. So if you've been holding bonds, measured by the aggregate bond index, boy, you're feeling the pain. So the dynamics have shifted these past 2 weeks in the market. Why is that? Well, I'm seeing it in a couple areas. First of all, you're seeing a rotation in what we call sector leadership. And this could be driven by the rising 10-year. And the market's saying right now that it's getting nervous about an economic slowdown. If we start with stocks, this is measured this past week by the defensive sectors. They have outperformed since late March. If you look at utilities since March 22, they're up 8%. Real estate up 5%. Consumer staples up 5%. Healthcare up 4%. But here's what's interesting. Here's where I'm seeing the dichotomy, if you will. The cyclicals and the financials, they're down. They've lagged. The cyclicals down 5.25, financials off 3. But why is this? Because typically as you see rates rise, those two do well, but they're not in this case. And so it's come as Treasury yields, particularly the 10-year, has risen from 2.38 March 22nd to now being 2.71. That's one of them. And also the other analysis you could say that comes from this, as the market is pricing the Fed discussion that came out this week. And a big part of that was, as you know, the Fed minutes were released midweek, and the Fed talked about how, again, the minutes are the secretary digest, if you will, of what was said at the meeting. And the meeting showed that multiple Fed's officials who vote are going hawkish, and that they're saying that they could be raising rates quite a bit. In fact, the May hike we've been talking about by 50 basis points is a sure thing. It's going to happen, according to this, and most likely we'll see it again in June. And so this is causing the bond market to tell us that the Fed may be too aggressive and may raise rates higher in the short term, that will kill this economic recovery. And that's what the market is starting to show by the slowdown. Now, here's why that might be not true. And here's where the bond market is being contra to the stock market in some respect. And again, calling things out. This is what's so fascinating to me. So think about this. We've been talking forever, you know, about the 10-2 spread. You know, I've been talking about that. The two-year yield getting greater than the 10-year and causing an inversion, which is usually a signal, one of the signals, again, of a recession in the horizon. And as we know, this has fallen relentlessly the past several months. We've been studying it, following it, and it's happened. But this week, we saw a material turnaround in the 10-2 spread. In fact, it went the other direction. Now it's a 20 basis point differential. And that's significant, because it happened so quickly, and it was a result of these notes that came out. So the point I'm trying to make this morning about this is that the Fed sounding so hawkish over the past 2 weeks, you would normally expect the inversion to continue. But that's not what just happened. It actually went the other way. And so this could be a positive. Now, why? This is fascinating. Why is this? Well, because I think the bond market is saying that the Fed's going to chicken out. They're going to chicken out, and they're going to stop tightening at some point here, because the growth is going to start to stall as measured by the stock market. Now, that I'm saying this morning. This is a bold call. I'm making it right now. But what could happen then to your stocks? That's what you want to know. So let's look at the technical level on the S&P 500, shall we? And now that I'm saying that, here's what the outlook could look like. Because if you look at what's happened to stocks lately, you could say that the stocks are signaling that there's going to be a recession, because the market now starting to slide backwards. But I'm going to say again this morning, I'm not going to say that's bearish. No, I'm going to call it being neutral. Okay, not neutral. And here's why, from a technical standpoint on the S&P 500, I'm going to call it being neutral. The rally that we just saw, it was pretty significant. The rally that happened from March, mid-March through the end of the quarter was pretty stellar. It was up around 10%, and it stalled, period. It's now starting to fall backward. And the S&P 500 is trading between the levels that we've been talking about. But what I want you to write this number down and study this number, because I think right now the stocks are somewhat overvalued, meaning that the support level to watch on the S&P 500 is 4171, okay? 4171. Now, that would be the support level. If the market broke through that support level, then that would signal a further down number. Like what, Dave? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Right now, remember, Friday we closed at 44.88. So we have a ways to go to get to 41.71. But if we get there and we break that, that would initiate what we call more technical type selling. And that could cause, again, the algorithms and so forth to kick in. And so what that means is we could see it drop to 37.63. Now, I'm basing all these based on multiples and numbers, et cetera. Let me give you an example. Right now, the market is trading on a earnings per share target on the S&P 500. Again, remember, the market are always forward-looking. This is a big deal to explain to you that economics that I talk about, economics are present day, meaning economics show what the market's going to do now. The market predicts what the future is going to be, what the future of the market should be valued at. So when I say earnings per share of $226 a share with a multiple of, say, 19 to 19 and a half times earnings, that's future looking. And if you do that, based on what we're seeing right now, you're looking at a trading range in the S&P 500 of 42.94 to 44.07. with 43.51 being the midpoint. Okay, so that's the general trading range. But if things get worse, then you could see, and how would things get worse? Well, again, technically, if S&P broke 41.71, you could see a drop to 37.63. All right, so you heard that this morning. That's what the market is telling me. So you're asking, well, Are we going to have a recession? What's going on, Dave? What do I need to know here? Okay, well, what I'm saying is, from an economic standpoint and from the bond standpoint and now the stock market, we're seeing these signals that we are slowing down, but I'm going to say I don't see a recession this year. And that's largely driven from the fact of the economics that I'm looking at now. I don't want to bore you with that this morning, and I'm not going to do that to you, but I just want you to know the bottom line is the latest batch of data that I'm looking at implies that the growth overall is slowing down, but it's not to the level of a recession, at least not at the moment. All right. There's a lot that's going to happen, and that's why you turn in these market segments, because you want to know what's going on, and you know I will tell you. So this is what's happening right now. And I don't want you to get overly concerned, all right? If you have a well-balanced portfolio and you have a target and you have a financial plan, then you're in probably really good shape. If you don't, well, then I'll later in the show give you something you can do about that. Let's talk about natural gas. I told you I'd get around to that. So this is kind of interesting. This week we saw a pop in the price of natural gas to the highest level we haven't seen since 2008. I mean, think about that. That was a long time ago. None of us want to remember 2008, but one of the things that went up a lot was the price of natural gas during 2008. And we just saw it again. Now, some may say, well, oh, that's a signal we're going back to 2008 again. Well, maybe. But again, it's just another indicator. But what caused it this week? Well, there was news that there was going to be a blast of cold weather this weekend in the eastern half of the U.S. That started it. Of course, the Ukraine war continues to drag on, and that affects the regional supply, which of course drives the price up. U.S. inventories, they're hovering below five-year averages, which again is just supply-demand economics. And there's also a lack of reinvestment by the E&P companies who do this. So that scrunches out the output. And so we saw natural gas prices jump this past week 5.47%. Think about that, to 635 BTU, which is the highest level we've seen since 2008. So how can you make money on this? Well, natural gas is volatile, and the support levels on it right now are 609, 5.72, and 541. If you see those prices triggered, that could be a favorable entry point for you to consider maybe adding some of that to your portfolio. Now, for the week ahead, economic data this week will be the core inflation number. The Fed does pay attention to that. And so if we see that getting worse. Again, that's just more fuel to the fire for the May 15th raise that I am now calling at 50 basis points. And that is my market segment. No matter how sophisticated you think you are, today's internet thieves are more innovative than ever. Find out what they're doing right now as it pertains to the Ukraine war and how you can protect yourself from being ripped off. Keep it right here. You've been listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. That's me, the Sandman. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. And if you missed the market segment this morning, there's a lot that's going on right now. The Fed has gotten much more aggressive. The stock market pulled back this week. Interest rates have reinverted again. There's a lot going on. So if you missed any of that and you want to know what's going on in the market, you got to go listen to my podcast and the market segment, which gets updated nightly. And we are going to update it later today. So go to your favorite podcast, type in Protect Your Assets, and enjoy. Now, if you're just tuning in, today we're talking about how much more common it is for you to get ripped off. And one of the biggest targets right now is the war in Ukraine. Scammers are using the internet to target people to make donations to help the devastation in the Ukraine. And of course, there's nothing worse been realizing after the fact that someone took advantage of you. The shock and awe, the anguish, beating yourself up by saying, why didn't I know better? I know better. I mean, why did I do this? So what can you do? Well, you probably know not to give out sensitive information to anyone who contacts you, and that credit cards offer more protection against fraud than debit cards do, checks, or your PayPal or Venmo apps. With a credit card, the most you could lose is $50. And if you report that card stolen, $0. With debit cards or checks or these apps, you could end up paying a lot more than you think, even if you catch it. And the biggest mistake people make is to think they're immune. Thieves keep honing their craft, using whatever they can to take over your bank, your retirement account. Sophisticated criminals monitor your emails. They monitor your cell phones as you're walking around, texting. They use your location to interpret data that they can then use against you. Give me an example of this. There was a CEO I'm aware of who got apparently sent out an email to his CFO. And the CEO asked the CFO to email, in this email, to wire $30,000 to a third-party bank account for construction. Now, the CFO was aware that the CEO had construction going on in his house, and he just followed orders. But he didn't bother to follow up with a phone call to the CEO to verify that the request was legitimate. So, moral of that story, follow up with a phone call. Moreover, the request came from the CEO's iPhone, but everybody at the company knows that the CEO loved his Samsung phone. So there were some little trails morsels of information that were embedded in this that showed it was phony, but it still got a pretty sharp guy out there. So if you're thinking about taking a part-time job, or maybe you've been thinking of selling something on Craigslist, or maybe you have done this, consider the story. This is incredible. The check for $4,870 took Patty, who's 66, by surprise. It arrived in her mailbox. Patty works part-time. She's 66 years old, by the way. She works part-time freelance writing, and she wanted to receive, or she was expecting to receive, $1,217.50 as a 50% deposit on a writing project she was completing for a new customer who had reached out to her on LinkedIn. Now, the contact sent an email explaining that his organization wanted her to complete a second project and had processed a payment for both of those projects together, thus the $4,870. Now, Patty was satisfied with that because she wanted to do the work. So she deposited the check and finished work on the project that she was hired to do initially. A few days later, the contact emailed her to say that the company had changed direction and he wanted her to refund the overpayment. Now, her bank account showed that the funds from the check were available. They were there on the balance. So she sent the organization $2,435 for the project number two, which was canceled. And she did this via something called Cash App, which is similar to Venmo or PayPal, those the ones on your phone that you use to send people money. Then the contact reached out to her and said, hey, I need another $1,217, half of the payment of the first project, because we ended up not using your project. So she was suspicious about this. She said, wait a minute, I did the project. I sent it to you. You didn't give me any feedback. You didn't use it now. And so she asked some friends of hers, what do you think about this? And they said, it's a scam. Sure enough, the check that she deposited bounced a few days later. And Patty's account is now overdrawn by $3,000. And she feels like a complete idiot. Overpayment schemes are now a way crooks get you to make a mistake. An overpayment scheme is when you're expecting to receive a certain amount of money for a product or a service, but the check or even a money order arrives with a larger sum. Anytime somebody overpays you for anything, whether it's a couch or a job, that's a red flag, because overpayments like this just don't happen in real life. The fraudsters are counting on your ignorance of the check processing system. When you deposit the check, your bank begins what's known as this convoluted process of transmitting that check image, often through multiple clearinghouses, with the bank that holds the account on which the check was originally drawn. By law, banks must make the first $200 of that check available to you. And if it's a certain type of check, the first $5,525 available to you. But most people don't know that once a check clears, doesn't mean the money belongs to you. It really depends on the bank. And some banks may take longer to spot a counterfeit check, fake signature, or insufficient funds for the account that paid you, and then later negate the deposit. Get this, you may have to wait several days, weeks, to find out if this really occurred. In the meantime, the scammers will ask you to return the overpayment using Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, gift cards, wire transfers, money orders. Those payment methods won't let you claw back the funds the way a credit card will, so your money is lost once you hit that send button. Now, there's a common denominator to some of these scams. Don't send money to someone by Venmo, PayPal, or another Cash App unless you've met them in person. If you hear gift card or any sort of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, stop right there. That's a red flag. If you hear gift card, stop. If anyone instructs you to go to a store and purchase something or deposit money, that's another red flag, because no legitimate businesses operate that way. Even today, no government agency takes payments via prepaid gift cards or Bitcoin. So don't refund any overpayments if you're paid by check. If you receive an overpayment, don't deposit the check. Ask for a check in the correct amount. If you must send money, always pay with a credit card because you have federal protection. Because the advertising on Instagram and Facebook targets you, don't click on things without thinking about it. Because if you're looking to buy something online, take the name of the company, put it into the search engine Google, and write the word scam or reviews or complaints after it to see what people are saying. Make sure it's a legitimate company before you buy something from it. The same precautions apply for travel deals. You're not going to get what you see in the pictures. If you'd like my free guide on how to protect yourself right now in this environment, call this number, 866-PROTECT. You can talk to someone right now and get my free guide. Call this number, 866-PROTECT, or text PYA, again, PYA for Protect Your Assets, to this following number, 797979. Again, text PYA to 797979. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you can meet the love of your life on Facebook. Is that really true? You're not going to believe this story. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets show. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. That's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week, and even sometimes getting on the phone to talk them out of making bad mistakes. We had this happen this week where an elderly gentleman called me and wanted to buy his girlfriend a big house. And I said, no, we're not doing that. It's incredible what's going on. Protecting your assets right now has become so much more important now, as the pandemic has forced all of us to use the internet more to purchase goods and services. Last year, Americans lost $50 billion to fraud. Fraudsters are innovative professionals, constantly reinventing their scams. When fraud happens, victims are left not only with financial loss, but compromised identities and sometimes severe emotional distress. There are ways to protect yourself, and that's why today I'm discussing the latest scams and what you can do to identify them and then protect yourself before it's too late. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
So here's one they say. They say that you can meet the love of your life on Facebook. Now Meta, I guess. Is that really true? Well, it really depends. It's possible. I've seen it, but I've also seen and heard many other terrible things that happen as well. And in this case, this person got ripped off in a large way, not only financially, but emotionally as well. Consider this story. Kate, 67, recently widowed, accepted a friend request from Tony on Facebook. Tony said he was interested in the same things as Kate. He liked dogs. He liked gardening. Kate thought Tony was handsome, and he claimed that he was a doctor. He said he was a surgeon working in Iraq with the United Nations and that he had two children. His kids contacted Kate by email and started to call her mom after the couple was officially dating after several months. Kate, who had always wanted to be a mother, was very excited to meet the children again online. The request for money came from the daughter, who told Kate that she needed feminine supplies but was too embarrassed to ask her dad. Kate sent a gift card From then, there was always some kind of emergency or some urgent need for money, and Kate went through all of her husband's life insurance money and her savings. Kate then started living on credit cards, and Tony was getting what she was receiving from Social Security and her husband's pension. To prove he would pay her back, Tony sent Kate passwords to his bank account so she could see that he had a balance of more than $2 million in there. Then he said he had a vacation coming up and he was going to fly out to finally meet up with her. Kate was so excited. She got all dressed up, had her hair, her nails done, drove to San Francisco airport to pick up Tony. Tony never arrived. Kate was devastated. She then received a call magically as she was sitting there at the baggage zone from a man who said he was Tony's lawyer. According to the lawyer, someone had put drugs in Tony's bag and he was in jail and he needed $20,000 for bail. By the time Kate stopped sending money and dealing with all this, she had sent Tony over $400,000 and had no money left to cover her past two bills. And according to Kate, even harder than losing the money was the loss of the family she thought she was going to share with Tony. Roommate scams and social media. The FBI has issued alerts warning of various types of schemes carried under the guise of love. And in 2021, U.S. victims lost, get this, $770 million to these types of scams initiated through social media. So what can you do? How can you avoid being scammed or duped through what now has become mainstream? Well, first of all, don't send money or gifts to anyone you've never met in person. Hear me now, ever, okay? I've seen this happen so many times. So you never send money or gifts to anyone unless you meet them in person. Don't sign legal documents or give account numbers to anyone. I know it seems obvious, but just don't do it. With our company, if you send those things to us, we have secure ways where you upload those securely so it doesn't float around on the internet. It's very important. If you're looking for red flags, it's a good idea to talk to people you know about anyone you've met online and listen to their input. Hear me now. Listen to what they say to you. Because if something doesn't seem right, hopefully the second person will pick up on that. You can also use Google to do a reverse image search of any photos that person might send you of themselves. This includes photos of the person, even the mundane details as the meals that they're eating, taking pictures of these meals, because scammers often reuse the same photos that are floating out there on the internet. So that's a way for you to uncover it's a scam. Other factors that your love is a scammer, typically they say they're living or traveling outside of the U.S. They say they're working on an oil rig or in the military or a doctor with international organizations to help cover difficulties in communication or making in-person arrangements. Common requests include asking for money to pay for travel, urgent, immediate medical expenses, or custom fees to retrieve something, or pay gambling debts. They also say they need money to pay for a visa or a travel document, possibly even coming to see you. They'll often ask victims to use gift cards or wire transfers to send funds, and these methods make it virtually impossible to get your money back once it's sent. So here's a couple things to keep in mind. Make sure you keep all conversations on dating or social media platforms available to you. So keep, you know, screenshots, take pictures of them, download. Don't move the conversations to messaging via your phone because many platforms utilize harmful language filters to detect fraud and help you. If your contact refuses to meet you in person or to video chat live with you, that's a huge red flag. Try other ways to verify their identities in real time. For example, ask the person to send a selfie holding a piece of paper with your name and date next to his or her face. Check to be sure the people or firms you trade with are registered with federal or state authorities. Relying on registrations alone won't protect you from fraud, but most scams involve what's known as unregistered entities, people, or securities or products. Before making any investment, get a second opinion. Talk it over with a financial advisor, CPA, attorney, trusted friend, or family member. As I mentioned this week, that's what happened with us. A client called and wanted to talk to me, and I was more than happy to ask him a series of questions and then say to him, you know, I don't really think this is a good idea. Never pay more money to get your money back. If you suspect fraud, report it immediately. I hope this was helpful to you. And if you want to get more information about this, we're going to be doing workshops in the Bay Area in Alamo on April 21st and April 28th. If you'd like to register for these dinners and come down and hear what we're doing right now with clients, and if you have questions, you can ask those of us. Please go to our website right now. The address is libertygroupllc.com. Again, libertygroupllc.com. You can click on the events tab. And then you'll see a big blue register button next to each event. And you're more than welcome to go ahead and click those and register for the dinner event that's coming up. Coming up next, what's one of the easiest way to protect yourself right now from this sort of fraud? Find out when I come back. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show. Keep it right here.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. And today we're talking about a big one. People right now are getting scammed at unbelievable levels because of our use of the internet, because of the way crooks are now tracking us via our cell phones. And with the war in Ukraine continuing on, many people are being victimized financially by trying to help those out who are the victims of Putin's aggression. So today we've been talking about how this could happen to you, what you can do about it, and some ideas around that. Now, criminals are smart, but you can be smarter. So I recommend putting in place the following policies that can protect you and sticking to them no matter how legitimate a request or opportunity seems that comes to you via your cell phone or on your computer. So first and foremost, protect your phone, folks. Smartphones are tiny computers. They live in your pocket, but they can access so much of your personal information. These devices need to be protected as vigilantly as you would protect your home. You lock the door when you leave, right? Your phone is no different. The passcode works the same way. So set one up that only you can unlock and that you change somewhat frequently. Make sure thieves don't get in the back door or download apps that you know are legitimate. So again, if you see a new app and it's not through something that's legitimate, then don't download it, because that's the way they get through to your phone, even though it may be locked. Take advantage of the options from cellular providers and manufacturers to send unknown numbers directly to voicemail. On your smartphone, you can go into your settings and have any unknown number go straight to voicemail. Make sure that you put all of the contacts, the people you know, your kids, your granddaughter, put their names in your phone contacts, so then they'll pop up when they call you and you know it's your family. If you have an older family member who may be vulnerable, help them out. Show them how to do this. Build in safeguards. Use strong original passwords for different accounts, especially financial accounts. That way, if you get hacked, the others are secure. Consider password management software. Makes it easier to use complex passwords so that you don't have to remember those random crazy strings of digits. Install security software on all of your devices, like antivirus programs or encryption. Make sure you have two-factor authentication on any financial account, so that even when you put in the password, you have to verify that it's you with a code that goes straight to a text on your smartphone. Get a better device. Don't hang on to those old phones. Consider using an iPad or a tablet instead of a laptop or a desktop, as they can offer more avenues for entry from viruses or scammers. Review your privacy settings on social media. Make sure your information is only visible to those you choose and know. Facebook, Instagram, and other social media platforms will walk you through steps to change your privacy settings or ask a younger relative to help you out. Wait and talk. One of the best protections we have is a gut check with a family member or a friend. Before you make a purchase or send money, ask someone you trust what they think. Whenever you buy yourself time to think about a request, you're more likely to recognize it's a scam. Just because someone calls or emails you doesn't mean you owe them your time. Being assertive is not being rude. That is a stranger calling you right now on your phone. You're paying for that phone. It's okay to say no thank you. Retirement is a major transition, and right now, if you have a 401k plan, did you know that there are thousands of investment options outside of the small group of funds that are currently being offered in your plan? Find out what they are. Find out what you're missing out on by calling us right now. Call us at 1-866-PROTECT. Again, the number to dial is 866-776-8328. If lines are busy, again, just give us a call, 866-PROTECT, and we're more than happy to show you what sort of other investment options could be in your 401k plan that you're missing out on right now. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Asset team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all of my fabulous producers back there doing all the heavy work with the phones, Phil and Brett, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to the Protect Your Asset show with David Hollander, the Sandman, that's me. Have a great weekend. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.